Good evening. Welcome to Ephesus. We're delighted to have you here. We do have visitors, and we are grateful to you for being here, and we invite you back each and every opportunity that you may have to be with us. If you're looking for a place to worship, we want you to consider Ephesus, and I hope that as you look at us, that you will see that we fit the guidelines of what Jesus described would be a church, the things that he said to do, we do, and the things not to do, we don't do. And if you find anything errant from that, please bring it to our attention, because we're not trying to be who we want to be. We're trying to be what God wants us to be. We had a great afternoon service this evening at the nursing home, and we are grateful for that. If you have the opportunity to go to that, we invite you to do it. It's a great thing. I always leave feeling uplifted, grateful for the things that I have as far as health, and I get encouragement from those people to say, look what they do to get here. There's some of you that I see here this evening, and I go, look what they do to be here, and we're grateful for you in that as well. We're going to look at a topic this evening, continuing on kind of with the Sermon on the Mount, this idea of retaliation. And I cannot tell you how grateful that I am that my sister is one of those visitors here with us at Ephesus. I hope she pays attention to this and never retaliates me for anything that I haven't done in my eyes. But we oftentimes, I have a major problem with retaliation. The problem being the fact that I want to retaliate because I want to get even at the least. At the most, I want to get ahead and have something on you. Because if you did something to hurt me, I want you to feel just as hurt as I feel. I want you to feel the heartache and agony just as much as I feel heartache and agony. If you were the cause of me having great despair in my life, I want you to have great despair in your life by the cause of me. I want us to be even. And that's not really what Christ told us to do. It's not at all what Christ commanded us to do or what he taught. And in Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 38, he says, you've heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Once again, we have one of those passages of, you've heard it said, we looked at, you've heard it said, do not murder, but I say to you, not be angry at your brother. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery, and I say to you, whoever lusts after a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. And again, he said, you've heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. And this comes from Exodus chapter 21, verse 24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This idea of let's teleonis. And if you're better at Greek than I am, you can tell everybody more better how to say that. But this idea of whatever you did to me, I get to do back to you. And that was a lot of resolve to sibling rivalries. That's what she thought. She thought that if I hit her, she needed to hit me back. I don't know why. And we think that same thing, that same way is so easy for us to rely on. And this teaching was really and truly eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, animal for animal even. If I borrowed one of Jimmy Wade Wells' bulls and I brought it over to the house, and I ran it all around the pasture and run it dead, guess what? He gets to take mine. And he don't like mine near as much as the ones he got. But that's the way it worked. You borrowed an ox from somebody and you killed it, guess what? They get your ox. You cut somebody's arm off, guess what? They get to cut your arm off. You steal something, you lose your hand. This idea of what's even is what's even. And these Jews grew up knowing this. These Jews grew up learning this as what is the facts of life. This is the way it is. If you do somebody wrong, expect as much to be returned unto you. Jesus says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. He goes to this deeper issue yet again and telling us to not even put up a fight. When someone seeks out to do evil unto you, don't resist them. Continue on in verse 39. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. And in today's world of getting back, Jesus is really calling us to practice these true Christian ethics, which is encompass completely with love. That's what we ought to have, is this undying love for brothers and sisters, toward one another, even toward our enemies, as he would later teach in some later verses here following the Sermon on the Mount. But this idea of getting back, getting even. It continues on in verse 41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. And it's many times we can look to Christ as our perfect example and how to do things and how to complete certain tasks. And that's what we're going to kind of look at this evening. As we look at this idea of retaliation, we're going to look at the way Christ handled evil things and things which were some of the very ones mentioned here in these verses. And the first one that he mentions is evil coming to you. When evil comes to you, Jesus here in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's here and he's been praying, and he tells Peter, James, and John, he said, look, the time is at hand, the hour is at hand that I'll be betrayed. It's right now. He said, I've been telling y'all, warning y'all, that the Son of Man is going to suffer many great things and that he is going to die. I'm no longer talking about it. It's happening, and it's happening right now. And Judas is leading kind of like this posse. If you can envision the old Western movies of the posse going out to get the guy that in town, and they've got these pitchforks and shotguns and these whips and a rope, and they're heading out to go capture Jesus in the garden. Judas leading the way, betraying the rabbi, as he would call him many times, the one who is leading the disciples, the one who is his teacher, his guide. He's betraying the Son of God. Jesus tells in verse 50, do what you came for, friend. Why have you come? What have you come to do? Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? It must happen this way. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this is all taking place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. See, Jesus shows us when evil comes, we must accept it, not resist it. Peter is told in some of the other accounts of the one who drew his sword and cutting off the servant of the high priest, cutting his ear off. If you think back to an earlier event in the night, when they were participating in the Passover and establishing the Lord's Supper, Peter said, I'll never deny you. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. Peter did not understand what he was saying. Peter said, even if I have to die, he didn't mean, well, if death comes to me, I'm just going to roll over and take it. He meant, well, if I have to die with you, but I'm not going to go down without a fight. I'm not going to go down easy. I'm going to go down swinging. But if it ends in my death, so be it. But I'm not just going to give it up. Jesus is saying, just give it up. Just give it up. He said, you don't understand. The Son of Man must endure these things. The Son of Man must go through these things to fulfill the prophecies. Jesus went with them, not resisting that evil when it came. And boy, I tell you, when it comes to some things, I'm just like Peter. Am I willing to go down with Christ? Absolutely. But boy, I don't want to just give it up. Let me fight. Let me go down swinging. How many times do we read about Paul being whipped or being stoned or Stephen being stoned, all the apostles, the first Christians being stoned and persecuted for the cause of Christ? And how I just wish one time they'd have slipped in and Paul KO'd a guy. You know, just knocked somebody out. But it's not in there. As bad as I want it to be in there of somebody just whooping somebody else for the cause of Christ, it's not in there. No matter how hard I try to make it be in there, it's not. Jesus showed us how we must react when evil comes to us. He shows us how to turn the other cheek. Matthew chapter 26, verse 67 and 68. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?" When Christ was slapped, how did he retaliate? How did he defend himself? As one after another spit and hit and slapped him, what happened? Not even speak. Thus fulfilling the prophecy. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. When tried and questioned in the face of Pilate, all he said was, "It is as you say." Not even giving up a defense with words. Christ gave us a perfect example of turning the other cheek. When somebody does you wrong at work, when somebody does something to you that makes you not look like a shining star, what do? Do you go around like a hawk for the next month and a half looking for them to not be a shining star, don't you? So you can tell everybody how dull they've burned out. Because that's what they did to me. Christ says, just turn the other cheek. Just say, that's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. Just go on. Christ's example of when someone sues you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. Somebody sues you for your shirt, give them your jacket. In John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24, though he wasn't really being sued for his clothing, I believe this is as close of an example of Christ giving his clothing as I could find. So maybe I'm stretching a little bit for this kind of point, so be it. John chapter 19, verse 23, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled. "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." Speaking of Psalms 22, verse 18. And so this is what the soldiers did. Although Christ did not necessarily freely hand over his clothing, he definitely didn't put up a fight over his clothing. The heart of Jesus was so filled with the love of God that he cared not for how they treated him or what they did. And he was willingly, "You want my shirt? You've taken it. You want my coat? Take it. You want the very loins, the cloth that covers my loins? You got it." So when someone wants something off of us, how much more freely should we hand it over? How much more freely should we give it up? Christ was also an example of how one should give up his tunic. Christ's the example of the extra mile. And though I thought, well, Christ went the extra mile all his life with the things that he did and the way he lived out his life and the way that he all the way went to giving up his life, went the extra mile. And when I thought about this in our practical example, the idea of Jesus speaking in Matthew 5 was the fact that the government, the Roman government was traveling all over the world, building these roads and had all this equipment they needed to carry around. And at the spot, they might just stop here in the village and say, hey, you are going to carry this for us, or we'll kill you. Kind of the gist behind it. Carry it for 1 mile, which would be Roman paces, was 1,000 paces was equivalent to 1 mile. So you're going to carry this for 1,000 paces. And Jesus says, don't just carry it for that 1 mile, carry it for them too. And so this in action was really when Christ was carrying his cross to Golgotha, that they came across when Christ could no longer carry the load, physically wore out, physically give out, that he could no longer carry it. They came across Simon the Cyrenian. Matthew 27, verse 32, and as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross, speaking of the Roman soldiers. Forced Simon to carry the cross, to literally carry the cross of Christ. Are we willing to carry the cross of Christ, that extra mile as well? Are we willing to go with someone, not just the 1 mile they ask, but go with them too? A few weeks ago, it was about 3:15 in the afternoon. We get off at 3:30. And of course, that's something happens that you got to do right now. Well, they had given a call, intersection of Huntsville Browns Ferry and 31, that this light was not working right. There wasn't being a green light one direction. So I'm irritated because I've got to go down there at 3:15 wanting to get off at 3:30. So I head down there and I'm taking a guy with me that's kind of, he's in training trying to learn how to do that stuff. So I thought, well, this would be a good opportunity for him. And so we go down there. And when we get down there, the lane which they said was having the problem, there was a guy broke down on that lane. His car was broke down. Trailblazer. Stuck in the left lane. Well, we can't begin to work until this guy gets out of the way. And so we kind of back up behind him and block the lane off the best we could to keep people from piling up behind him. So here it is. Now it's 3:30. I'm ready to go home. And this guy's still in the way. Can't even begin to do my job to go home until he moves out of the way. He said, man, he's over there with a cup from McDonald's. He's been getting gas out of the gas station right there, coming over trying to crank his car back up. And I said, man, can we get you out of the road? He said, yeah. Well, that's when I realized that we couldn't just push him because the light was messed up. So I went over there and rigged the light up to where it'd hold 30 seconds, long enough for us to get him moved out of the road. Me and Austin set foot on this path to get the guy out of the road. Why? So we could get our job done and go home. I don't really care about the guy. Not really my motivation at the time. My motivation was me to get my job done so I can leave. So we get going. I said, all right, here it comes. Here comes our chance. I got it set up for 30 seconds. Okay, all right, time starts. So we get in there. I told the dude, I said, you just steer. We'll push you. And we're coming. We're pushing him. And I'm thinking he's going to pull over there at that old McKinney's there at what's Wingzilla now. He's going to pull over there where they're doing all that construction, get this guy out of the road so I can get to work. Hey, that ain't where he wanted to go. He goes down Huntsville Browns Ferry, and we're still pushing him. And I've done gave him the last hurrah, you know, the one that's going to roll you on over there into the parking lot. And he's still going down Huntsville Browns Ferry Road. I'm going, dude, you can't pop the clutch. It ain't going to work. You're going to have to pull over somewhere. He actually had a good idea of where he was going. It just wasn't my idea. He was going down to the body shop. That, if you're aware, it's a couple hundred yards past the intersection. Down there to that mechanic shop, which was a good place for him to be, just not where I was really committed to getting him to. And I'll often say, what is this idiot doing? And I said, well, all I can tell you is, we going the extra mile today. And so that got me through it. But I don't know how many times we've had in mind, I'll go with you somewhere. Yeah, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to the doctor. Well, you didn't know what all going to the doctor with them folks was going to entail, did you? You didn't know that they was going to go to the doctor, have to stop and see three people on the way home, that they wanted to go by the grocery store, and that grocery store didn't have everything that they needed, so they needed to go back to the other hometown all the way across town. Go do a little look over there. Christ calls us to go the extra mile. And to not go with that extra mile grudgingly, upset, and just mad about doing it, but to be cheerful about it. To be excited that we get to go that extra mile. And normally it doesn't happen at the most convenient time. Normally it is at the end of the day when you're ready to go home and you're just tired and wore out and you're ready to be done with the day and all its labors. And that's when it happens. But to be ready for it and to be ready to go the extra mile. Think of Simon the Cyrenian. How he wasn't there to carry any kind of load. How he wasn't there to carry any kind of burden. But yet he was chosen to be the one to carry the cross for Christ. And to carry it up that hill. Up Golgotha's hill. And Christ's example in giving. Although I struggled with the way Matthew worded it, I thought the way that Luke worded it was a little bit easier for me and my little mind to understand. Luke chapter 6 and verse 34, and if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Jesus said, what is it to you that you just lend to people expecting to get as much back? Even the sinners do that. Even the Gentiles do those kind of things. But to be able to put yourself where you can help those, to those who ask of you to be able to give to them, not expecting anything in return. Christ gave us so much. He gave us so much that we could not return. He gave us His thoughts. He gave us His love. He gave us His life. Christ gave us everything. God has given us everything that we need to survive. Everything that we need physically. Everything that we need spiritually. He has given us so much. And what do? We take. We take and take and take and take and ask for more. And what does He do? He's giving it to us. We must not take this for granted. Of Christ's selfless giving example. If I was going to sum up what Matthew 5, 38 through 42 says, I really think Paul did a better job than Matt could ever do, which happens on many occasions. But Romans chapter 12, verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, he will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Just because somebody else started it doesn't mean that I got to be the one to finish it. I don't know how many times I've said that in my life. Well, I didn't start it, but I'm going to finish it. I'm going to end it. And that's not the way we are to be. When we look at Christ and the way that He accepted evil when it came to Him, the way He reacted in every walk of life should be a motivation for us that if we really want to walk in the light as He is in the light, that we would act the way He acted. I believe that Jesus certainly knew who God was and how God was. I think He knew that it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. I think He knew that. That's why He wasn't consuming Himself with how He was going to get back at those folks. And I think that should be our motivation too, to not get back, not get even. It's the fact that God is the ultimate judge in the end, and He will repay everyone for what they've done. Whether it for good, whether it for evil. Can we say, count it all joy, my dear brethren, that you are counted worthy to endure the sufferings of Jesus Christ? Can we be happy that we get to do that? Certainly we know we can, because Christ was our example in doing that. Are you here this evening and you're not a Christian? You're not a child of God? Then without being a child of God, you have no hope. You have no hope of the promises which God has promised to those who are in His body, inside the body of Christ, that is the church. Perhaps you're here this evening and you've too also had a problem with retaliation. You want to fix that, you can. If you have a problem with anything, you have some sin in your life of public nature that you want to let everyone know that I'm repenting of, I'm not going to do it anymore. You need the encouragement of the brothers and sisters and of this church, and we would be happy to help you do that. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, will you come as we stand and as we sing?